Welcome to SKU Talks. We are your one-stop shop for all things e-commerce. While I tend to skew towards Amazon, no pun intended, our guests come from all sorts of professional backgrounds, and I'd like to think there's something in here for everyone. Thanks for joining.
All right. Hello, hello. I am here with a good friend of mine, Noen Major. Noen and I have been working together, becoming pals over the course of the last, 6 to 8 months? Noen does a lot of things, so I'm stoked to be able to just let him take the floor and share his background with you. But the brand we've been working together on is Go Nuts, Nut Milk Bags. It's been an awesome ride for Noen, and I think we've been learning a lot through the process of it. But just to get started, Noen, why don't you give everybody a quick couple second, whatever you want, background about who you are and why you started the company.
All right. Hello, everybody. Hello, Sam. Well, I'm an artist therapist. I've been in the field, the entertainment, for like a long time, early 2000s. And 10 years ago-ish, a friend of I, another therapist, artist, Crazy Monkey, approached me. He's like, oh, let's do this Amazon business. I want to buy this online course and stuff. And I've been looking at online opportunities for a while. And I was like, fishy, scammy kind of thing. But this thing resonated. I'm like, all right. He needed the money, but I'm like, I'm not going to do all the back end, this Amazon Seller Central. I'll do the branding, no problem, pictures, all these things, no problem. 1 year down the road, he's just like, man, it's too much for me. I'm dropping the ball. I'm like, dude, we have like a product on the shelf now. So I looked for another partner to take over. And after 2 years, we started to sell. And after 3 years, we're making like 5, 10K, 15K profit a month that I share with my ex-partners in total. There's like a 5 year period where we sold a total amount of a million ish in products. That's not profit, of course. Just with one product, nut milk bag at $9.99. You know, the cost was around $2. And then COVID hit. We had some issues with the brand, you know, brand registry. I have a French accent, by the way. I'm from Montreal. And so we had pirates stealing the buy box, and then my previous partner got, you know, a little bit like overwhelmed by all this, and then COVID and health issues. Oh, yeah. And he dropped the ball. So I'm like, oh, so I'm alone again with the baby on my lap. So I was like, what?
Yeah, looking for a new baby on my lap. Sorry, my puppy has just been biting my ankles this whole call so far. So one thing I want to ask you about it as far as all that goes. So you started the product, and then you said around 2 years in that you caught some significant traction and you really started selling. Is that what you said?
Yes. Well, you have to keep in mind that we were doing it part-time.
Right.
You know? So it's not
what
like
do you think was that helped to get you over the hump from just having a product up to actually driving significant revenue? Like, was there anything in particular that you guys changed that moved the needle around that time? Or what do you think caused
with the second partner, of course, PPC. Yes, definitely.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. So PPC helped to move the needle there for you guys.
Yes, definitely.
Cool. And obviously, naturally, as you layer in the PPC, your SEO gets a boost, and that's always pretty exciting. So how many of you guys were there overall that were working on this?
Just me and another guy. Yeah, two guys.
Yeah. And I'd be interested to hear from you, I guess. So what we've talked about is, I know that your background as an artist, you're big on the design side. You did a lot of the copy yourself.
Yeah.
How often were you tweaking that sort of thing? And did you notice any significant impacts when you make those sorts of changes to your listings?
I guess it was evolving slowly with time. Yes. My ex-partner was also good with copy. Now with the AI, I'll be really stoked to test the waters with the AI tools, because I'm writing children's books right now, and I'm using AI for some of the basic ideas. And then, of course, I'm tweaking it with other softwares and my own ideas and stuff. So copy is a big, big, big part of it, definitely. My ex-partner was also really good at it. So we worked a lot implementing the right keywords, key phrases. So it has to be readable for human, but also you want the robot to catch the keywords and phrases for rankings and stuff. So it's really, it's almost like science, you know? Same with the images, the story, what images first, second, the benefits, showing one lifestyle image, the side, all this is really technical also. So I developed that side of the business. That's my side, the copy and the branding and the marketing. Everything that is back end, like Seller Central, PPC, I have no clue how to activate and
right,
change anything. That's why a guy like you and your agency and friends are coming in, because I'm clueless, you know, and I don't want to learn this. I don't want to lose my essence.
Yeah, it's not the fun part. 100%. Nobody's going to be good at every piece of it. And that's a good point you make about it really is tough to find the balance between optimizing for SEO, making sure that the search engines are pulling your listings up for particular phrases, while also optimizing for human experience. Because when you're typing things like back-end keywords, you just cram in keywords because you want them to be listed for things that are relevant to your product. But you also need to make sure when you're actually writing things that are customer-facing, you want the keywords in there, but you want to make sure that it sounds fluid and organic. And that's the balance between general traffic, trying to get as many people as you possibly can to your listings, and then balancing that with conversion rates, because people always assume if they're reading something and it doesn't sound intuitive or like a human wrote it, they assume that the quality of the product is worse, and that if they're not putting a lot of time and care into writing a product detail page listing, then they're probably not putting a lot of time and care into developing a product.
Yes.
So it's definitely a balancing act.
Yes.
With tools like AI, go ahead.
That being said, talking about AI, there's a software, free, it's online, a rephraser. So you write the best as you can, and then you put it in this thing, click, you know, rephrase. Yep. Boom, it's giving you options with, and you can even control the amount of synonyms, or it's amazing. Yep. And then you go back and copy paste and retweak it, you know, it's really powerful.
Totally. It's super interesting, because I guess not to get too off topic, but AI is such a valuable tool. I think that a lot of people are viewing it as a potential job replacer, like people are going to lose their jobs because things are being outsourced to AI. But, you know, in some cases that may be true, but in reality, it's best used as a tool. And then I'm even seeing jobs created around proper AI use, like AI engineers.
Yes.
People that really know how to use AI, use things like ChatGPT to get it to function in a way that's unique and effective, because it honestly does take some fine tuning, just like with any other tool. And I think that's interesting. So
yeah, this pros
just to go
cons.
Back a little bit. I actually don't know if I've ever talked to you about this before, maybe super early on, but I'm curious. So, I mean, you're obviously in Tulum, you live a healthy lifestyle, you're that type of guy. Why nut milk bags?
Well, in the course we bought, of course, there's a strategy to find your first product and products, the following products, because you want to build a brand, right? That makes sense. And makes sense. But so in the criteria, you know, the product selection criteria, there's a lot of stuff to consider. There's some categories that in the course they would never suggest to start a product in. There's categories, subcategories. And then also, all right, is it too popular? Or, I mean, the first question is, are people looking for it, or is it a new invention? If it's an invention, well, don't sell it on Amazon. People are not looking for it.
Right.
You need to, you know, hire bloggers and buy ads and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So what are people looking for? And then if it's too popular and the big guys already have thousands and thousands of reviews, you're going to compete against giants and you're going to be just on page 100 or 200. So it's going to be hard to rank up. So there, just that is like a week or two or three, you know, where you look at products, you make a list, and then you narrow it down, you eliminate. And at the time, I would never start a nut milk bag right now. Of course, it's like oversaturated.
Right.
There's like China manufacturers right now cutting the middleman. You know, their own product. How do they make profit? Well, that's because there's nobody in the middle, you know?
Right.
So now it's really, really hard. And you know, you're in the trenches with me. But back in the days, there was only a few guys out there. I was like, wow, what's, you know, the nut milk bag, the veganism kind of trend and stuff. And I was in the health world already for like 15, if not 20 years at the time. So I was like, all right, this is a good opportunity. We wrote a recipe book. So for me, it was also inspiring, not just, oh, I'm selling something to make money. It's something that is changing lives. And you have to have fun, and, you know, it has to be like
100%.
Purpose. What you're doing has to, you know, you need purpose in life.
100%. And that's another one of those things. It's such a balancing act in a lot of ways. The first of which being what you said, which is balancing the search volume with the saturation of the category, is incredibly important. Because you think about, oh, everyone wants like the newish trend is these hydration multipliers, like hydration powders, because Liquid IV came in and made so much money. and everybody sees, oh, this is an X million or billion dollar market. If we can tap into that and compete with Liquid IV, we're going to get rich. But then all of a sudden, all these competitors came out at exactly the same time. And then it's a decently sized pie, but you're fighting for a slice with so many other people. So it's important to figure out, like, just looking at the dollar value metrics behind a particular product or category is one thing, but you have to consider how many people are going for the same slice of the Amazon ecosystem and how much of a head start they have, because Amazon's definitely a momentum game. And the more reviews you have, you can afford more flexibility of pricing, or just based on volume, you can afford to sell it lower. So there are a lot of things to take into consideration. And the other thing that you said that I really like is, once you have found a product or a list of products that might be kind of a sweet spot with sufficient search volume, so it's not something that people have never heard of and thus won't be looking on Amazon for, but it's not overly competitive, it's like you have to find something that you're passionate about too, because you know better than anyone that selling on Amazon can be an absolute fucking headache, pardon my French. But if you are, like, if you're also phoning it in by needing to sell a product that you don't particularly care about, those are going to be some long days. I remember back when I was, you know, considering different career options, like 4 or 5 years ago, I got a couple offers that I thought were really good, that were doing exactly what I was good at and exactly what I wanted to do, but they were with a very particular product that I just didn't want to dedicate all my time to. It was, you know, I was running Google Ads at the time, and they offered me a great salary, and I'd be doing nothing but Google Ads. I could start it from the ground up, but I was like, I will be putting in 40, 50 hours a week to selling. This was like this particular lawn care product. And I was just like, I don't know how long I can do that, because if the end result of my work is just this one lawn care product increasing sales, it's a little bit tough to get behind. But it's really important to find at least a product that you can associate with yourself and the lifestyle that you want to live. Well, and that makes the creative side more fun too.
Totally. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And more than a product is products. Like, it's a brand.
Right.
You're building a brand, because the idea is to flip it hopefully in 5, 4, 5, 10, 6, whatever years down the line, down the road. At first, people were just like, yeah, whatever sells, just put it in your store, and you know, spatulas and whatever it is,
kitchen,
baby stuff, pet stuff. Now they're just like, no, build a brand, and also put it maybe on the Shopify. And you're now, people are not, you know, those selling,
that's
courses,
the name of the game.
They're not just suggesting to hit on one nail, which is Amazon, because it's harder and harder. You also have to make some waves outside of Amazon now. It's like, oof, all right. It's another expertise to develop, or hiring or teaming up with agencies that are expert at that, because there's only so many hours in a day, you know?
100%. And I mean, that's a great example, because obviously margins are better selling D2C. It's just that Amazon already has like over 70% of consumer purchases start their journey on Amazon. So it's incredibly important.
Is it 70 now? Okay. Last time I checked, it was 62 or something. So now they get 70% of the online sales.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, at least the 70% of consumers start their product research journey
in the world.
Most of those can convert. This is the United States.
Okay. Because I heard in the States, okay, worldwide, including eBay, Costco, Walmart, everybody in the world, back in the days, like 3, 4 years ago, don't quote me on that exactly, I think they had like 62% of the online overall sales. And in the States, there was another, like, from Amazon world, another 60-something percent just in the States. That's why I just suggest, if you start an Amazon brand, you're in UK or Australia, start it in the States, because this is where the market is.
Yeah, it's huge. And I mean, the thing is, when you're selling products on Amazon, if you are looking to ultimately increase the lifetime value of your customer, you have to build a brand, because there's so many products that people buy as a one-off on Amazon because it suits a purpose. They couldn't tell you who made the product. They couldn't tell you anything about it other than I bought it on Amazon. And for certain utilitarian products, that's fine, because you're not going to, it serves such a specific use case. You're not really going to be able to build a brand or tell a story, but the better of a job you can do that, the more that people will not just say, I bought this product on Amazon, but I bought it from this brand they sell on Amazon. And then you're able to just, A, all the purchases that you make can lead to other purchases from people that refer you more business because they like your product. And that person will know where to come if they need other items that are available in your category because you built a brand that stands out to them. Yeah. And I think a lot more companies are starting to realize that, or a lot more sellers are starting to realize that on Amazon. And you can see that within all these, even you look at a category like Q-tips and you look at the products on Amazon, a lot of the top sellers have built a pretty recognizable brand. And the value of that, I think, is just going up and up as the competition increases.
Mm. Yeah, that's why really important to white label, you know, have your little sticker or engrave your logo on the product, because when people are ready to reorder, you know, 6 months or 6 years, well, what was it again? Yep. You want them to look for you.
Exactly. Exactly. Versus just searching in the same query they typed last time and then yes, opening up the door for competition a second time.
Yes.
I think that's really important. Yeah, I think you have the right idea. And I think especially your work in the creative world and what you're good at, I think has been increasingly more and more important in the Amazon world. Just as competition has gone up, you really have to find new ways to stand out. Not everybody wants, you can't always compete on price. You can't always compete on a review count. So how do you, if you're not competing in those two areas, how do you compete? And the answer is really just creative writing, imagery, and branding.
Imagery. Well, I'm from the image world since the early 2000s. Even in 98, I started as an assistant stylist. Then I became a stylist and assisting this art director. Then I became an art director. Then, digital photography. Cool. I bought a camera in 2003 to do research and I started to take pictures. So yeah. I saw the evolution of this world and been in the entertainment. I'm from the image world, period. So for me, image is everything. That was our slogan back in the days in our ad agency specializing in fashion world. Image is everything. People don't like That's to good. Read it. If you put like a few words on an image, it has to be short and sweet, because chances are people are not even going to read your title or half of it.
Right.
You're lucky if they're reading, I don't know, 10, 20% of your bullet points.
Yeah.
Imagine the descriptions. That's what the A+ content now on Amazon is really, really like image oriented. And don't write too much stuff, man. Let the images talk.
Especially for mobile. I mean, I agree wholeheartedly. And a lot of the time, you know, I take off my agency owner cap and I look at these things through the lens of a consumer. And that's the first thing that I think is, I buy things on Amazon all the time. Yeah. And very rarely do I really go and thoroughly read the descriptions on a page. Sure. They're important. They help with SEO. And especially if products are a little bit on the higher price side, then people are going to do more thorough research. But nothing that you can ultimately put in writing in a description is going to be as valuable as the way that you curate your pictures.
Again, with the 60%-ish average, I think that's what's going on with the mobile. This is where people are buying 60 or 70% of the sales. Don't quote me on that, but I think that's what I heard. And people don't like to click. So changing pages like back in the days on a website, no. People are going to scroll to the end if you're lucky, interesting enough. And people don't like to zoom to read.
Right.
So make it readable just in scrolling down.
Yep. 100%.
You know, yes, simple.
Yeah, it's funny. It's just, especially it's very easy as a brand owner or an agency owner to look at things and consider best practices and get really in the weeds and add all this text and like start changing these really minute things about the verbiage in your descriptions. But the best way that I've seen success is just to zoom out and look at it as a consumer and just think, would I buy this? And if not,
exactly,
why?
Exactly.
Or which one would I buy and why would I buy that one?
Yeah.
And often it's not, I mean, especially if you're in a lower price point category, it's not usually like the reviews are always going to be important. A couple bucks may or may not make a difference, but usually it's branding and imagery that sell me personally.
Yes. I'm from the lifestyle, you know, back in the days, and I'm grateful to have this background, because back in the days when we were doing a campaign, full spectrum, there was no internet. It was only the beginning. So it has like a bus shelter. If you have, depending on the budget, bus shelter, some buses, the side of the buses, some train station, depending on who your target is. Is it the kids at that university? Okay, where are they?
Yep.
What are you going
to
do?
No way to track it.
No way to track it. Do you have enough money to do a billboard? Well, the kids are not going to be on the bridge, right? But if you're selling fur coats or cars, then yes, a billboard. So the question is, when it's really, really far, do you feel something? Do if you're passionate, yeah. And the conversations we had with the fashion designers, oh, I want to see the stitches. It has to be the perfect color. But we did Guess Jeans back in the days. We won awards. The clothes in the catalog were not even available on the shelf in the stores because the stylists rip it off, glue it together, whatever. Right. We made like crazy shootings of a guy and a girl like kissing with sand and wet hair. It was an emotion. So where's your emotion? I'm not saying to go that crazy with Amazon, but at least have one lifestyle image. And Vogue magazine at one point said that one of our, you know, the cover that was like, okay, a good cover, but sold the most was the cover where the girl was looking at you. Same with movies, covers. When you have someone looking at you, you feel like, oh my God, she's looking at me. There's something personal here. You can have the best image of a guy looking away, perfect technique, beautiful, but he's not looking at you, you might sell less. Have at least one image in your story that someone...
I agree with that. Evoking an emotional response is so important, and it's something that I don't think is tapped into enough still. Yes. And that's two things that brands I've seen do a really good job with this is, one, telling a story about the founder and the why behind that person that's selling this product. I think obviously the higher your price point, the more likely that somebody's going to read into something like that. But I think that getting that sort of personal connection with who you're buying something from can be huge. And then the other one is if people are doing any degree of charitable work, charitable donations, people do want to feel like they're making a difference. And you can make a difference. Like, it doesn't matter what product you're selling. You can always make some form of contribution with the revenue that you bring in. And that not only benefits whoever you're giving the money to, but conversion rates take a huge jump when you do that sort of thing. So evoking an emotional response is, I think, an incredibly underrated marketing strategy.
Definitely. Personalized experience. People can, you know, they love to relate and feel like they're contributing to something or someone or a cause, believing in the founder. Yes, definitely.
Exactly. We are running about up on time here. So any parting words of wisdom, final thoughts, and then if anyone wants to get into contact with you, what would be the best way to do that?
Wow, we can talk about so many things. Words of wisdom. All right, it's super simple. Eat your juices and drink your food, meaning chew your food till it's liquid. And get some saliva. Even if you drink water, get some saliva so you don't just drink water and it's gonna just flush your minerals, you know. So that would be let's talk about health stuff, right? We're selling health stuff, but we can talk about so many things. Noanmajor.com, as simple as that. NOANMAJOR.com. info@noanmajor.com. And if they forgot, then they can reach out to you because we're friends. And
I'll put it in the description too. But yeah, you can always reach out to me. All right, my brother. It's been a pleasure, like always.
Yeah, man.
We'll talk soon.
Okay, brother. Much love.